Artificers are inventors of the impossible and the crafters of the arcane, capable of assembling the most wondrous and deadly of magic items. Clerics are the devout ministers of divine will, imbued with celestial power to heal the sick and smite the unworthy. You put them together, and we get priests of arcane science and the machine god's clergy, bedecked in all the powers that can be assembled by God or man. So if you want to be a part of, and I'll say it again, the machine god's clergy, and why wouldn't you, stick around for today's video. This isn't one of the multi-class options that most people think of, and you'll likely have a truly unique character when you come to the table with it. While the classes may feel very different at face value, both can be built as support casters or as combat tanks, and most of those features will stack together. Two prepared spellcasting classes together means we'll have tons of additional spellcasting options. Cleric gains quite a bit at first level, meaning we can get away with some of the builds with just a single character level dip. Artificers are usually stuck in medium armor or even light armor, and just a pinch of cleric will let us upgrade to heavy armor. Finally, since infusions don't rely on any ability score, we have some wiggle room when it comes to our ability spread. Build it right, and we can become the ultimate party buff with a half a dozen different buffs online at a time, or a power tank bolstered by both our technological and holy buffs. There are, of course, some downsides here. The big problem is that both Artificer and Cleric are both casting classes, and they use different spellcasting abilities. Then, if we want to tank or get anywhere near combat, we'll also have to care about Constitution and one of the physical damage abilities. Both classes can go for martial prowess combat build, but without a lot of work, you'll lag behind the actual combat classes at doing the same thing. This basically leaves us going full glass cannon with severe combat limitations and maxing out our two casting abilities, spreading ourselves thin over at least four abilities or ditching one of our spellcasting halves altogether. With some careful building, we can overcome a lot of this, but we don't have a lot of wiggle room if we want the build to actually work and at least be on par with a single class build. Since Artificer in particular is already a half-caster class, multi-classing an Artificer means we'll be even further behind full casters than normal, and Artificer multi-class can expect to feel weak at the mid-levels. We also can't make much use out of the arguably best Artificer class archetype, the Artillerist, and their Eldritch Cannon, since the Arcane Cannon just doesn't synergize with the Cleric. And of course, just like with any other multi-class, we're going to be sacrificing high-level Artificer abilities and high-level Cleric abilities, and we'll be getting our mid-game and higher-level class features significantly later than a single-class character. We'll cover the best combination of just these two classes, but they actually lend themselves better towards class suit builds, with dips in multiple different classes, such as Ranger, Paladin, and Rogue. If you're curious when this multi-class starts to kick in, multi-class characters tend to have a level goal they're working towards and a synergy that provides a massive boost of power to justify the level dips. Most of our builds require at least gaining the third level archetype features of the Artificer class and at least the first level archetype features from the Cleric class. This means most of our builds will be kicked in with four character levels, with three Artificer levels and one Cleric level. Most builds will also continue on with Artificer as the primary class, with only the small level dip into Cleric. Now let's get into the class features that we care about. As a dual class option, we've got a ton of features to consider, but only a few of them will ever really be important. We can shift the build in a few different ways, so not every class feature will factor into every build, but the following features all play into at least one of our strategies. Starting with our significant Artificer features, we have Magical Tinkering. Gained at first level, you basically get to turn a number of mundane items into tiny gadgets, with a number of items per day equal to your intelligence modifier. They can emit light, record and replay sounds, emit noises or odors, or relay messages. Next, we have spellcasting. Artificer spellcasting works a bit like an intelligence-based cleric. You get access to spells on the Artificer spell list that you prepare, but are limited by your spell slots. The Artificer list is limited, but for most of our builds, it's where we'll be getting the majority of our spells. Note that the Artificer is a half-caster, which means we only ever get to 5th level spell slots. Artificers don't have a ton of offensive spells at low levels, but consider Tasha's Caustic Brew for some unexpectedly powerful acid damage. And then we have Infuse Items. Starting at 2nd level, the Artificer gets to essentially make magic items that only last for a while, choosing an item feature from a long list that gains more options as you gain Artificer levels. This, however, opens up all sorts of gadget possibilities, from simple stuff like magic rapiers to on-demand magic ropes and gloves of thievery. Early on, you'll be limited mostly to static buffs, but at later levels, you can make magic items that essentially amount to extra features. You'll want to build towards the level milestones when your infusion options improve with 6th level infusions, 10th level infusions, and 14th level infusions. Note that what gadgets you can make depends on your artificer level, not your intelligence. So we can actually get quite a bit of use out of these, even if going core cleric. And then we have artificer specialties. Artificers gain their archetypes at 3rd level, and several of our builds rely on the 3rd level archetype features. We'll go more into artificer subclasses in a bit, of course, but just know that for now, they'll be integral to our builds. Now moving on to our significant cleric features, we have spellcasting. Clerics are a full prepared spellcasting class. This means you have access to spells on the cleric spell list, you just have to pick which spells you prepare each day. Clerics have a couple really good offensive spells, but you'll likely get the most value out of their utility, buffing, and healing spells. Even with just a level dip, cleric grants us a ton of additional spellcasting options and 1-2 spell slot levels. And then we have channel divinity. Clerics get a special divine resource in their uses of channel divinity. You gain this feature with your 2nd cleric level, and you get one of these uses of channel divinity every short or long rest, and more uses at your 6th cleric level. The base use of your channel divinity is turn undead, which is unsurprisingly only useful if you're running into undead monsters. All the cleric archetypes, however, provide us with much more interesting uses of channel divinity power. Tasha's also gave us another base use of our channel divinity power called harness divine power. This lets us spend it in order to regain a lost spell slot. You can only do this once per long rest to stop us from farming spell slots, but you can do it more often at higher cleric levels. And then we have divine domains. Clerics gain their archetypes at 1st level, and more than most classes, you'll be getting most of your unique class features from your archetype. In particular, we really care about the domains that let us ditch medium armor by giving us proficiency in heavy armor, including Forge, Life Nature, Order, Tempest, and War. Other temping options exist, but we don't want to be stuck in light armor or medium armor. And then we have Blessed Strikes. A revised cleric feature that replaces all the similar versions in the archetypes, this lets us deal an extra 1d8 damage once a turn on an attack or cantrip. This is a nice upgrade since it allows you to do focus on martial options or spellcasting regardless of what archetype you select. Now let's talk ability scores. For these dual class option builds, we're taking advantage of some artificer archetype features which will let us use intelligence for our attacks. As such, for these builds, we want to focus on intelligence as our highest ability score. Any ability score increases should be spent on intelligence until you max it out. Next, for both of these builds, we're going to be making use of our cleric spellcasting, and we'll want to make wisdom our 2nd highest ability score. Then, since we don't want to die and care at least a little bit about our hit points, we'll need to make constitution our 3rd highest ability score. Finally, we're going to be relying on heavy armor for these builds, and heavy armor has a strength requirement. Ideally, we'll want 15 strength so that we can wear plate armor, but we can also make do with 13 strength so that we can at least wear chainmail. If, however, you're going to go with our Machine God tank build, we'll have a special artificer feature that lets us ignore the strength requirements, and we can just use strength as a dump stat. For all these builds, dexterity and charisma can both be dump stats. And just as a reminder, the base attribute requirements for multiclassing artificer and cleric are 13 intelligence and 13 wisdom, and that's the absolute minimum for the build. Now let's talk equipment. We're going to be relying on heavy armor, but beyond that, our builds will be using wildly different equipment. Put on the best heavy armor you can wear and take a look at each build for further equipment instructions. And when it comes to which class you should start with, keep in mind that you get similar skill proficiencies and the starting weapon and armor proficiencies are identical, and we pick up all the missing tool proficiencies when we multiclass anyway. This means that there isn't really a correct answer and you could start with either one. For my personal preference, I start with the cleric though. For most of our builds, starting with cleric will get you a heavy armor proficiency faster, and you can avoid the awkward swap from medium to heavy later on. Now let's take a moment to talk multiclass spellcasting and how it works. The easy part is the spells you know. Your known and prepared spells don't mix whatsoever and work just like you were a single class character. If you're a 3rd level artificer and a 4th level cleric, you'll have all the spells of a 3rd level artificer and a 4th level cleric. The spell slots are the confusing bit, however. In the back of the basic rules, you can find a table called Multiclass Spellcaster, which shows you your spell slots by your combined levels in spellcasting classes. Unfortunately, artificer is considered a half-caster, while cleric is considered a full-caster, so you'll have to do a little bit of math. This will help you figure out your spell slots, and you'll add your cleric levels to half of your artificer levels rounded down. So, for example, if you had 4 cleric levels and 2 artificer levels, you'd be a 5th level caster for finding your spell slots on the table. When it comes to actually casting your spells, you're going to have to keep track of your spell attack modifiers and the spell DCs of each class. Your cleric spells will all run off your wisdom, and your artificer spells will all run off of your intelligence. Finally, you need an arcane focus, which is orb, staff, whatever other magical thing you feel like, and you're going to need it in your hand to cast your artificer spells. The cleric spells are a little bit easier. You need a holy symbol, which is literally anything that represents your god, but you can thankfully just be wearing it or displaying it so that you don't have to be holding it specifically. You do need to keep a hand completely empty, though, to perform the somatic components of spells due to some wonky rulings about spell focus. But thankfully, it can be the same empty hand for both your cleric and artificer spells. I hope that wasn't confusing. This particular section took me a few takes because I had to think about what I said and make sure it made sense, so I hope that wasn't confusing. Now let's talk multi-class builds. There are many more combinations hiding in these class features, I know it, but the following builds are among the best multi-class characters of this particular brew. First, we have the Divine Robot Commander. Our goal here is to build a robot and buff our own private tank DPS machine with divine power, getting free extra attacks as we buff the bot. To start off, we need 3 levels of Artificer taking the Battlesmith archetype and just a single level of Cleric taking the Order domain. We're only going to be dipping into Cleric for that single level, and all of our remaining levels should go into Artificer as our primary class. Battlesmith has a 3rd level feature called Battle Ready that gives us proficiency with martial weapons, and more importantly, it lets us use intelligence instead of strength or dexterity on our weapon attacks. It'll be an awkward first few levels, but with this, we can actually get some hit points in without investing into strength or dexterity. At 3rd level, Battlesmith also gets a handy robot friend in the form of a Steel Defender. Your robot pal acts on your initiative, and you can command him with your bonus action. Its attacks and saves are all linked to your own proficiency bonus, and it sort of acts like an animal companion. Ideally, battlesmiths want to rely on their steel defender to defend them, while lobbing spells at the target and keeping distanced. The problem is that the steel defender doesn't have that many hit points, and its AC is a reasonable but not amazing 15. Usually, you'll be stuck spending your turn mending the steel defender and then ordering it to make a single attack. Here's where the cleric level and order domain kick in. Order clerics gain a 1st level feature called Voice of Authority, which grants 1 allied target of our 1st level or higher spells a free attack using their reaction. Doesn't matter what the spell was or what class it came from, it just has to be a 1st level or higher spell. This essentially means we get to 3 actions a turn, since our action to cast a spell buffing our bot also gives the robot an action, and we get the attack from the robot using our bonus action as well. When it comes to our infusions, we'd really prefer to buff our steel defender with magical armor and weapons, but sadly, due to some annoying technicalities, it isn't proficient with anything, and early on, we should just buff ourselves up. We should be rocking heavy armor with the enhanced defense infusion for a +1 bonus to AC. With a spellcasting focus in one hand and a hand crossbow in the other, with the enhanced weapon infusion on it not only for the +1 bonus to attacks and damage, but also to transform it into a magical weapon, so we can use our intelligence for it thanks to Battle Ready. So what spells are we buffing our robot with? Firstly, from our handy cleric level, we gain access to the spell Shield of Faith, which grants +2 AC for 10 minutes, so long as we can maintain concentration. +2 AC brings our little robot up to a healthier 17 AC, and I'd recommend you try and make that your initial spell at the start of each combat. Bless also uses concentration and conflicts with our shield, but I still recommend it for situations where hitting is more important than blocking. Next, we have the classics Cure Wounds and False Life, which heal HP and provide temporary HP respectively, and can conveniently be found on the Artificer list. At higher levels, consider spells like Enlarge Reduce for giant robot fun, and Haste when you reach 3rd level spells to stack up even more robot punches. Finally, make sure to use one of your Artificer cantrips on mending, since that provides massive healing for your robot as well. As a side note, much later in the build, you get a strange opportunity to turn your robot into an Archer Sentry. One of the magic items you can replicate using your infusions at 10th level is Bracers of Archery. The robot can attune the bracers, and the bracers actually provide proficiency with bows, allowing the bot to use our conveniently infused longbow. Also, once you reach 6th level Artificer, consider swapping in some boots of the Winding Path and attuning them to your robot for teleporting robot shenanigans. Next, we have Machine God Tank. Our goal here is to become a living holy relic weapon, swooping in, swinging holy fists of justice while shrugging off whatever comes our way, and giving the martial classes a run for their money. We're going to stack up every defensive boost we can get our hands on and become absolutely unkillable. To start off, we want to take 3 artificer levels selecting the armorer archetype, and at least 1 cleric level selecting the forge domain. We then want to push our original class artificer up to 10th level to snag extra attack, armor modifications, and the 10th level infusions, and all of our remaining levels go towards getting us to 10th level cleric, for a final even split of 10 artificer levels, 10 cleric levels. So let's break down how this one works. We have heavy armor proficiency as an armorer artificer, so firstly we want to get our hands on some plate armor, and use the Forge Cleric's Blessing of the Forge to turn this non-magical armor into +1 plate. And it's important to do this step first because it specifies that it can only be done to non-magical armor, but all of our Artificer Iron Man stuff doesn't, so it'll only work as written if we do it in the correct order. The whole Iron Man part of this build comes from the Armorer and the Arcane Armor feature we gain at 3rd level. Specifically, we want to take the Guardian option for our armor. Arcane armor is complicated and grants several benefits, the most important of which is to make our fists into magical 1d8 thunder weapons that use intelligence instead of strength or dexterity. These melee attacks also impose the distraction ability, and when we hit targets, they'll have disadvantage on all attacks that don't target us on their next turn. It also ignores the strength requirements of the armor. For our next defensive boost, we infuse our Forge-blessed arcane armor with the enhanced defense for yet another +1 AC bonus. From here, we have a couple tempting options. Go full tank by putting a shield in one of our hands, or go for an additional damage option and put a weapon in it. We don't actually have access to martial weapons, but it's still a fair option to augment our defensive abilities with some melee attacks. Finally, our go-to cleric spell should be Shield of Faith, which cleanly stacks another +2 AC bonus defensive boost so long as we can maintain concentration, which hopefully shouldn't be too difficult. When we get all this together at 4th level, we've got plate armor starting us off at AC 18, +1 for the Blessing of the Forge, +1 from enhanced defense, and +2 from a shield, and +2 from the Shield of Faith for a whopping 24 AC. We can enter any fight swinging with our gauntlet, forcing targets to waste their turns, scrabbling inefficiently against our impenetrable holy science. Later on, you have nice options to improve this further. Armor modifications lets us essentially apply a whole ton of infusions to our armor rather than just one. I highly recommend going for winged boots for flying and higher movement speeds, repulsion shield on the shield for another +1 AC for additional defense, and radiant weapon for the gauntlets to get some holy justice into those punches. All told, this build is capable of some of the highest ACs a player character can reach, with an insane 28 AC in tier 4. And then lastly, we have the Gunslinging Preacher. Here we make use of the absolute most ideal weapon for priests, a gun. Our goal here is to live out the trope of holy man with a gun and blast our way through the heretics with massive amounts of damage. This is simple, but one of the most offensive options the Cleric Artificer multiclass have to offer, in more ways than one. And obviously, while this build revolves around firearms, it can work fairly well using crossbows instead of those in case it doesn't fit your campaign to have firearms there, though with a significant dip to the whole cool factor. First, we want to take 3 levels of Artificer, and once again, we want to take the Battlesmith archetype. We then want to take a single Cleric level, taking the War Domain, followed by 2 more levels of Artificer to pick up extra attack. Finally, all of our remaining levels should go towards Cleric, giving us a final split of 5 Artificer levels and 15 Cleric levels. We get our hands on a gun, or heavy crossbow if your world is a bit more lame, and often forgotten, artificers start the game off with any firearm skill proficiencies for the setting just in their base rules. If using Renaissance guns, your best option is a musket, for modern firearms it's an automatic rifle, and finally for futuristic guns we want a laser rifle. No matter what you choose, you're definitely going to want to emboss it with a holy symbol, especially if it's a two-handed weapon. Next, we need to infuse our lovely gun with Repeating Shot, which not only makes it a +1 magical item weapon, now it also ignores the loading property by making magic bullets. And because it is now a magic weapon, Battle Ready allows us to use our intelligence instead of dexterity for its attacks, and we can now make our attack rolls like we were martial characters. And since it's displaying our lovely holy symbol, we can cast all of our cleric spells through it. Before going further, I do need to point out the silliness that is the distinction between loading and reload. Crossbows and Renaissance guns all use loading, which just says you can make a maximum of 1 shot with it a turn, but that we can also ignore thanks to Repeating Shot. Repeating Shot basically lets us skip the crossbow expert feat that these sort of builds normally need. Reload, on the other hand, counts the number of shots loaded into the gun and forces you to use an action or bonus action to reload it. All the modern and future weapons use reload, and there's no way for us to bypass it. All this really means is every other turn or so for most later guns, we'll have to only shoot twice in a turn, and as we spend a bonus action to reload rather than fire a third time. So, how does this one work? Let's take a look at the build at 6th level just to make sure. When it's time for initiative rolls, we fire our gun, followed by another shot from extra attack, but we're not done. The War Cleric's War Priest feature gained at 1st level allows us to make another attack as a bonus action, uses equal to our Wisdom modifier, for yet another shot. That means that thanks to war magic, at only 6th level, our heavy armored preacher, filled to the brim with magical abilities and healing spells, can also pour out ridiculous damage rolls each turn. If you're using the humble heavy crossbow, you'll dish out 32 damage, that's 3d10 plus 15, a turn. Brandishing a musket brings you up to 35, that's 2d12 plus 15 a turn. The mighty hunting rifle pushes us up to 47, 6d10 plus 15 a turn, and if your DM is insane enough to give you futuristic guns like a laser rifle, you'll be unleashing 56, that's 9d8, plus 15 every turn. I have never personally used laser or futuristic guns in any of my D&D campaigns, but maybe other RPGs, but not this one. That sounds wild. There's definitely one theme I could apply across all of these builds in terms of role-playing and stuff, and it's that if any of you out there are interested in playing a chaotic good or any type of really crazy kind of character, all of these multi-class builds kind of seem like they would fit that. Yeah, I love specific use builds like this. Thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Be sure to like and subscribe because we're putting out new content all the time. Go see what we're up to over on skullsplitterdice.com. And if you guys plan on building any of the type of multi-classes that we put here today, or if you have your own spin on it, I would love to hear about them down in the comments. Thanks again for watching. My name is Patrick Ferguson from Skull Splitter Dice, and until next time, farewell.